Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I think what our brother shared just briefly this morning, I think this is should be on our hearts and it should be on our minds. Right? The Lord is still giving us extra time. He's given us overtime to prepare for his coming. And the question is, what is our attitude and what is our response? Right. I think when Sharon and I returned back from Asia, from that time until now, the one thing that is so clear to me is this world is accelerating, not just plodding along. It's accelerating the ripening for the coming of the great day of God's wrath. It's unbelievable. Before we left for Asia, things were moving at a certain speed. When we came back, I was just amazed to see how fast things are moving. And if the Lord is allowing the world to ripen quickly, what is our response? Do we also have that same attitude, hasten his return? And more importantly, do we live in that reality? Do we live in the consciousness of the Lord's soon return? Right. In the outline, I think this is, you'll see there's in Roman numeral one, we wanted to just review briefly what are some of the key prophecies. And I wanted to touch on this. Why? Why is it important? Because I know every time when we talk about the signs of the times, in your heart, what is your attitude? Do we roll our eyes and say, but we've heard this before? We already know this, right, Emmanuel? You know all the details of the signs of times, yeah? At least that's what I always hear. I know, Uncle. I know, Uncle. But the question is, do we remember it? Do we know? Do we really know? Or is it just, okay, in the meeting you hear it, check off your mark, your checkbox, and you say, okay, I know it. Or are we really living in that reality? Do we have that sense? Right? And so for that, I just want to briefly just highlight some of the key salient prophecies that has to happen. Many have already been fulfilled, but there are just a few key more prophecies that has to be fulfilled for us to see this. So with that, I'm going to throw it up on the screen here really quick. Vince, is it shared? Okay. So as we go through this, of course, you can spend more time in knowing this in your personal time. All the verses are written there. We also have a lot of content in the app on the website that you can follow. But we wanted to highlight a few things here, which is, I think, very important for us to realize. Right? Is it there? Okay, good. Right? So the real question for all of us today is, are you prepared to meet your God? Right? I guess maybe I should, if I'm in the way for everybody, I can stand off to the side. The real question is, are you prepared to meet your God? Right? Because a lot has to deal with our attitude. What is our attitude and what is our response when we hear the signs of the times? Right? You should be asking this question as we briefly run through what are the signs of the times to be reminded, because otherwise we'll forget. And there are two key core prophecies that we've always been speaking about in the book of Daniel. The first one is in Daniel chapter 2. And this was the dream that was revealed to Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, which Daniel interpreted. And he really sought the Lord to find out, what is this dream and what does it really mean? And in brief, with this image, you can see man's government from the time of the Babylonian Empire, right? The golden head signifying the times of the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. But then as you move on, down to the silver chest, then came the rise of the Mede and the Persian Empire. And as history tells us, after the Persian Empire, in the bronze torso, we can see the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great. And then following the Greeks came the Roman Empire. These are the two long iron legs. And then finally, when we get to the clay feet, constructed of the material of clay and iron. And this, in short, is democracy, the rule of the people. And this is where we're at today. But this vision goes on because there's still the 10 toes of this image down at the bottom. And these 10 toes represents the 10 kings that will be in power during the reign of the Antichrist, the final 3.5 years. And then the image concludes with a stone that comes down from heaven and it smashes the feet and the whole image becomes as chaff. And what comes from it arises a great mountain, and this is the coming millennial kingdom age. Right? And why is this vision important to us? Because we need to see today that we are coming to the end of democracy. I think the first time we heard this prophecy was back in 2014. I know in the conference of 2016 for the year-end conference, we did spend some time on this. That's 10 years ago, 12 years ago. But how many of you in that time would have thought democracy would really end? Many of us did not, could not see it yet. But the Lord is already telling us, forewarning us, that democracy will come to an end. And this year marks the birth date of the United States of America, the birth of democracy, the beginning of that clay iron feet. And this is America in its 250th birthday. But if you have not paid attention to, for the last 5 years, the end of democracy has really manifested itself, and it's been accelerating. And you have to realize, for democracy to stand, you need at least these following three pillars. The first one is you definitely need law and order. For democracy to thrive, there has to be a sense of morality. If you don't have a sense of morality, what kind of laws do you think you're going to vote into the government? Evil laws. But unfortunately, this is what's happening, especially here in the U.S. Right? There was a call to, number one, break down morality. Get rid of the Bible from the schools. Get rid of the Ten Commandments from the courthouses. There's an attack on morality in this country. And it resulted in things like defunding the police. How are you supposed to keep law and order if you do not have law enforcement? And it has even got worse. Now they're targeting law enforcement agents to attack them, to harass them, to hurt them. And they're just trying to keep the law. If you do not have law and morality, law and order in this country, democracy will fall. Then, of course, freedom of information. Today, what information are you reading, hearing, seeing? Is it the truth? Are you allowed to hear both sides of the issues? Unfortunately, not. And if you try to bring up one side, or if you try to bring up a side of the of an issue, what happens? Today we have such thing called canceled culture. If you want to speak the truth, oftentimes it gets canceled, right? And even people now have died for speaking the truth. Civil discourse is about to end in the United States. And this is what you need for democracy. And then safe and secure elections. And it's very clear in this country, If you don't even have voter ID, how are you going to have safe and secure elections? And it's now just coming out more and more evidence to the people to see how many illegal ballots were cast in 2020. Right? How can you have a democracy if you don't have safe and secure elections? Brothers and sisters, this is really happening. If you don't know, if you're ignorant to it, wake up. It's amazing how many that I've spoken with already, and they don't realize all these things are happening. They say, "Well, I don't watch the news. I'm in my bubble." We all are in our bubble. We don't want to hear, so we shut ourselves out and we put a nice bubble around us so we don't know what's going on. There was a brother who came into the church a few years ago. He told me, he says, "John, if it wasn't for these weekend times to be together with the saints, I would be completely brainwashed in supporting communism and socialism from the universities here in California." So I hope it becomes clear for you all. Democracy is ending. And along with that, as I said, if you lose law and order, what's going on? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 does speak about the mystery of lawlessness. Right? When you read this, it says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." There's a side footnote where it says, "Hidden truth." They're hiding the truth. And if you continue on, "With all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth." And today, this is the situation. You want to speak the truth, and nobody wants to hear the truth. Right? And then it goes on. "God then will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie." This is serious. We want to speak the truth, and the people reject the truth, and then God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and ultimately condemn who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Right? Today, you often may hear about mainstream media. Is that real news or is that fake news? Social media. What is that coming through on your Instagram feed, your Facebook feed? Right? These are nonstop news cycles that is with the intent and goal to brainwash us, to thinking what is evil is good and what is good is evil. And that's literally what's happening. And you might not even realize it. And what makes it even more challenging now is this technology called generative AI. You all know about AI, but there's this thing called generative AI, where they can take a picture of you, hear your voice, and then actually literally generate an image of you talking and speaking whatever it wants you to say. How do you then know the truth? How do you really know the truth? Right? This is all going on right now. Right? And there's so much fraud, so much deception going on worldwide, but especially in this country. And you try to bring out the truth, and they'll say, "No. CNN said it's this way." What we found out is whatever CNN reports, it's really the opposite. It's really the opposite. Right? So the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Right? They even want to go against the laws of nature. Right? They want to change God's law of nature of a man and a woman. I was recently told there was some famous golfer named Lana Lawless, who was really a man competing in a woman's golf tournament. The last name is Lawless. The mystery of lawlessness is really going on, brothers and sisters. Don't be ignorant of it. And of course, on much of the minds, especially in Europe, I'm assuming, is the war, preparation for war, because of Ukraine and Russia. There's conflicts all around the world. And everyone is talking about the rumors of war. It says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. The Lord already spoke this. And today, more than ever, everything is getting ready. Not war just between the countries, but if you really have vision to see, everything is preparing for Armageddon. A lot of the military assets are being pre-positioned now in the Middle East because of all the conflicts that are going around there. And then we want to come to the prophecy related to Daniel chapter 9. We won't go into all the details here because we want to get to the main crux of the point. Daniel 9, 23 to 27 speaks about both the first and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it gives us the timeline based on events that will happen in Israel. And to make it brief, after Messiah was cut off, Israel was judged. And when Israel was judged in 70 AD by Prince Titus and the Roman army, Israel ceased to exist, beginning in 70 AD. But we want to come to this last verse, verse 27. It says, as to the 1 week, a covenant shall be established with strength, and in the half part of the week, the sacrifices and oblations will be terminated, and in the temple, there shall be the abomination of desolation until the decree ends, is poured out on the desolator. This is related to the final week, the final 7 years. Right? What it tells us is this must happen before the second coming of Jesus Christ. But if you go back to verse 26, it says Israel was destroyed. The nation of Israel in 70 AD no longer existed. So for this prophecy to be fulfilled, then some important key events has to happen. It's really by God's arrangement that in 1948, the nation of Israel was once again restored. This is unheard of in human history, where a nation is completely wiped off the face of the maps of the earth and now has come back in 1948. And then, of course, Jerusalem in 1967, during the Six-Day War, Jerusalem was taken back by Israel, who now controls Jerusalem. But then in 2017, for the first time, the US President Trump signed a declaration declaring Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel. And then soon after, year after, the US moved the embassy to Jerusalem. This is unheard of. He was told not to do it because it'll cause World War III. So many things, terrible things, if these events were about to happen. And what happened? It didn't, because this is what God ordered up. And then, of course, the covenant with many. Many of us should remember this day, September 15th, 2020. This is the signing of the Abraham Accords, the beginning of normalizing relationships between Israel and their surrounding neighbors. And this is what Daniel spoke about, right? The covenant with many. And so this happened. And when this covenant happens, then it should tell us that the final 7 years is near, right? But then there's still two more remaining signs in this prophecy. Right? If you remember, we read, it says, and in the half part of the week, the sacrifice and oblations will be terminated. So that means this has to happen, the restarting of animal sacrifices. Because how can you terminate them? How can you end it unless you begin animal sacrifices today? And then the other one where it says, and in the temple, there shall be the abomination of desolation. So what else has to be built is the quote, quote, third temple. This is the sanctuary that Israel right now is very focused, and it will happen very quick. They're ready to do this, but these are the two remaining prereqs that have to be done. I'm sorry, these are the two remaining signs, but we need some prerequisites. How are these going to be fulfilled unless another two events has to happen? Remember, for you or for Israel to begin offering up animal sacrifices, they need to sanctify the area where they set up the altar. And so what you need is the ashes of the red heifer. And we've fellowshipped a lot about this already. But we want to make it clear to you, if it was not yet clear, it was on July 1st. Not any other day. It was actually on July 1st where they did the real sacrifice of the red heifer. Of course, when you read on the internet, there's a lot of debate regarding that. But based on an interview with the ones who did it, in their minds, this is definitely the ashes of the red heifer are ready to go. And then the last one that you have to have is the modern-day Cyrus. The modern-day Cyrus, just like prophesied in Isaiah, if we go back here, Isaiah chapter 44, the last verse in chapter 44, it says, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. This is a prophecy for the ancient King Cyrus to allow the children of Israel to go back to rebuild the temple the second time. I mean, the first rebuild, sorry. And it was at that time, the ancient King Cyrus, that issued a proclamation to allow Israel to do this. Well, today, we're in the same situation. Israel wants to rebuild the quote, quote, third temple. Right? For the prophecy in chapter 9, verse 27 to be fulfilled, you need this temple, so-called temple, to be rebuilt so that the beast, the Antichrist, can enter into it. Now, what better way or who to lead it? You know, this was actually splashed across many of the marquees there in Israel. This was soon after the announcement of the Gaza ceasefire back in October. And the Jews are very convinced that our president, Trump, is the modern-day Cyrus. And they even minted 5 coins to commemorate him as the modern-day Cyrus. And we've shown these coins in a number of conferences. I just wanted to flash this up to remind you again. The Jews believe that he is the modern-day Cyrus. Right. So, and this is all coming out very quick. And then the last sign, and this is regarding the creation. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Right. Now, this map that you see here is a worldwide map that shows you all the earthquakes that has happened in the last 10 years. Quite a number of earthquakes, right? And you can see the earthquake is not only around the Pacific Rim, right? This is the Pacific Rim. It's also, otherwise by geologists, it's known as the Rim of Fire, okay? Because that's where all the fault lines are for the earthquakes. But what's also very interesting is you have a lot of other fault lines that run through other parts of the world. Okay. Even I think Germany lately have been reporting earthquakes. Not big ones yet, but little ones. Right? Places that no one would expect earthquakes to be. It's all happening. It's all happening. And the other thing that you're hearing more and more is about not just volcanic eruptions going on around the world. Of course, today, the active volcanoes you hear are like in the Philippines or in Hawaii, but there's also active volcanoes going on there in southern Italy. But the other thing that people are talking about are the signs of what they call a super volcano. What's a super volcano? If you are familiar with Yellowstone, this is the largest national park in the United States. That entire national park sits on top of a cauldron of a volcano. That's a super volcano. If that erupts, the entire North America would be covered with ash. And it would cause worldwide devastation just with that one super volcano. But it was also brought to my attention recently that even in the southern part of the state of California is also another volcano, almost super volcano. When I heard that, I was like, I don't remember that. And I had to go look it up. And sure enough, there is. This is, you know, I don't know, about a couple hundred miles from where we live here. It's very close. Right. So we need to be aware. Why are these important to know? And then the last thing I do want to bring up is there's also an increase in what we call rogue asteroids that are having near collision orbits with the planet Earth. Right. What is a rogue asteroid? A rogue asteroid is undocumented asteroid that revolves around the sun that's not in the normal asteroid belt. But in these last years, they have had more and more near misses, and they're getting closer to the Earth. Near misses. Right? Why are all these signs important? Yes, creation is groaning. The creation is even waiting for us to mature to become sons of God. But you have to realize all of this is in preparation for the opening of the sixth seal. Right? Remember, the sixth seal talks about what? A great earthquake that will move every mountain, every island from its original spots. And there'll be so much stuff put into the atmosphere causing the sun to darken and the moon to turn red. And then there are even, as it would say, like figs dropping out of the skies from heaven. So all of this is to prep. Right? There was an article, I have to mention this, because I have an earthquake app on my phone, and I monitor 6.0 and above. And for the last 10 years, I've been noticing that frequency of 6.0 earthquake has been increasing. But it was just recently, this year, it was even brought out in the article that a brother forwarded to me that there are now more frequency of 7.0 and above earthquakes. And they're even saying it's not a coincidence. They may actually be linked. Right? We know there was that big earthquake in Kamchatka, followed by many, many aftershocks that were almost on the same level. And then also in Japan. Right? One of the sisters that we got to meet, she was there when that earthquake happened. And she said everyone's safe in her group, but she said that was her first experience of that kind of an earthquake, right? And both earthquakes issued tsunami watches, tidal waves, right? And also in the Philippines, for the first time, I've heard about super typhoons, but they had many super typhoons come through there already. So the Earth is trying to wake us up as well. It's groaning. So, the question is, what is our attitude and response? Right? I shared this with you is to remind you. We need to be reminded, otherwise we'll forget. We need to be reminded because maybe we don't even know. We're ignorant of all of this because we're just too busy with the cares of life. But we have to be awake. That's why Peter says in 2 Peter, it says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. That means we have to be watchful and pray. So what is our response? In Luke chapter 21, it says, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." And then finally it says, "When you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." Right? So this is a brief recap of what is happening and what needs to happen. You can turn the projector off, right? And I think these verses are very important, the ones that we read here in Luke, because when we are speaking about the signs of times, what is our attitude? Really, what is our attitude? Do we have the same attitude like the evil servant in Matthew 24? Matthew 24, verse 48 says, "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,'" and then it goes on in verse 50, "the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of." This is why this question is before us. What is my attitude? And what is my response? We might not be those who speak, "The Lord is delaying. The Lord is delaying." But it's our actions that speak louder than words. What is our response? How do we go about living our lives after hearing such a reminder? In our hearts, do we just kind of, "Okay, good to hear," and then we go on break and it's now gone? Do we have that desire, or do we just say, "Okay, thank you for the information," and then that's it? Just inaction is just like this evil servant saying, "My master's delaying." Not to take initiative to get ready already tells me that my heart is still not yet there to respond to him, right? And even some, because I'm sure many of you probably heard many of us speak about the signs of times, your attitude might be, "We already heard this from you since 2016 until now." And that's why 2 Peter chapter 3 also goes on. Verse 3 says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming?'" So for many of us, I don't know how long you've been hearing about the signs of the times. But for me, I've been hearing about the signs of the times since I was 14. And, you know, when you listen to it many, many times, if your heart is not right, you will become exactly like what 2 Peter describes, a scoffer. You'll just say, "Well, where is the promise of his coming?" Right? This is a serious matter. How do we respond? What is our attitude towards this? And this is why it's good that we prepare with godly fear. Right? In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And of this, which one does the Lord delight in? His delight is in the fear of the Lord." Do we have such a godly fear to realize that the Lord is coming? That's why we titled this present, the slides that we use, Are You Prepared to Meet Your God? If the Lord is to come next week, are we ready? Right? We have the signs of times, so we should have a good idea and a good sense of when the Lord is coming. But we also don't know when the Lord will take us before that happens. Things can happen very quickly. You don't expect it, right? But do we have such a godly fear, right? And your preparation, and this is what this whole conference is going to be about. It's the preparation in the holy and royal priesthood. This is what the Lord wants us to become, a kingdom of priests, right? We spend many times speaking about what are the verses in Revelation that should be top of mind regarding your goal. Do you remember, Emmanuel? Yeah, you do. Come on. It's chapter 1. Who all knows? 5 and 6, right? He didn't just cleanse us, save us from our sins, redeem us. Right? This is in chapter 5 also. But he wants us to become, or made us, kings and priests. Is this top of mind for us? Are we living in this consciousness and the reality, especially if we know these signs? Right. We already read the verses here in 2 Peter, but I want to emphasize verse 11, this last part in our preparation. It says, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? It's not a matter of all the things that we can do for God. Preach the gospel, have a mega church, and do all kinds of good works. We already know how the Lord feels about that. Right? Matthew chapter 7. The Lord warns us. There will be many who will not enter into the kingdom, but they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Do all these wonders in your name? Even cast out demons in your name? And yet, what did the Lord say? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. So it comes down to what Peter's telling us. What manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, the day of God. Why? Why is this so important? Because we all have to realize we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. It says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him. Is this our aim today, brothers and sisters? For all you students, James, is it? Where did James go? Oh, there you are, James. Ah, you were right there. Are you making your aim to be the top student in getting your double E degree? No. But you want to at least pass, right? You make it your aim to pass. Right, but you're making it an aim to pass. To get, why do you want to pass? I know, but why? With what? In what? A degree in electrical engineering, right? That's your goal. That's your aim, right? Your aim is electrical engineering. So are you going to take classes regarding biology, psychology, philosophy? No. What are you going to focus on? Engineering. Very good. And you just finished finals, right? Were you totally relaxed, taking it easy,
No.
What was happening? You were studying, preparing. Why? To be ready. And so there was this fear. The fear of failing, right? I mean, this is very practical. If we have this kind of feeling just with our schools, with our studies, or even for your work on the job, then do we have that same attitude and feeling in preparing for the Lord's coming? Right? And the verse continues. Verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Good or bad? Why? Verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore what? No, shouldn't it be the grace of the Lord? That's what we're all focused on, the grace of the Lord, right? Everything's so smooth. But here Paul says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." Right? This is serious. This is really now serious. And what we should ask ourselves is, are we ready? Is this our attitude every day with the same type of energy that you went to go after your degree? Do we have that same kind of energy, that desperate energy, that just, I want that. I want to reach the goal with the Lord. Right? So we hope that being reminded of the signs of the time, seeing that this world is already accelerating in the ripening for the coming of the great day of God's wrath, then we should be encouraged and encouraging one another, even exhorting one another. We want to hasten your return to prepare for his coming. This has to come from within, from the Lord, right? Because if we don't do it now, when will you do it? The Lord has given us extra time. If we don't start today, when? Then when? There's a warning here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. It says, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Right? So, brothers and sisters, may these signs of the time be a reminder for us, not just to wake us up, but that we would then live, learn to live Christ, to gain him, to be perfected in the priesthood, everything that will be fellowshipped in this weekend time. Pray that the Lord would not only give us ears to hear, to understand, but it would also then be energy for us, the supply for us to start doing it and to continue until the Lord comes. So may the Lord really wake us up. Prepare to meet your God.